With a show today about the Virginia Festival of the Book, there's a lot to complain about for those of us who live in Charlottesville. Too much traffic, it costs too much to buy a house, and there just aren't enough television stations. But there's also a lot to be happy about here in town. We get discounted admission to Monticello, there's plenty of cool architecture to look at, and our area is fast becoming the cultural pearl of the state. One of the reasons for this evolution are the many festivals we've got going on. Each October, there's the Virginia Film Festival. There's soon to be an entire festival devoted to photography. But perhaps the crowning event of the calendar is the Virginia Festival of the Book. And today on the program, we'll talk with the people behind the festival for an insider's look. And we have with us here Nancy Damon, the director of the festival. Nancy?
Hi. Great to be here.
Are you? Oh, sorry. It would help if I turned the microphone on. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Very happy to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you here. We've also got Kevin McFadden, the associate director of the festival. Kevin?
Hey, Sean.
Good to talk with you again.
My pleasure, too.
We've also got Rick Turner, the head of the Charlottesville branch of the NAACP. Is that correct, Mr. Turner?
Yes, it is. Glad to be here.
And he's moderating an event at the festival, and we'll find out a little bit about that a little later. We'll also have John Lohman, the director of the Virginia Folklife Program, and he's also moderating a couple of panels. I should say that the Folklife Program and the VA Book Festival are programs of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, which puts on lots of things. We'll talk a little bit about them in a minute. First, I'll ask you, Nancy and Kevin, first, just to talk a little bit about the festival. This is the 13th year. And before we get into some of the details of what people can see at the, what I believe are the 200 free events, is that correct?
That's right.
Well, first of all, if you could just, you know, talk about the philosophy of this festival.
Well, we have always wanted this to be kind of a festival for all the people. So with that in mind, we try to look at the widest possible range of different kinds of programs. So we have everything from a cooking program to a program about vampires, programs about spirituality, programs about sports, fiction, history, mystery, science fiction, poetry, all kinds of programs.
People sometimes ask us if it's a literary festival, and the answer is yes, it is that. It is that and more. It's also a writer's conference for those who go to Publishing Day. But it's not just a writer's conference, and it's not just a literary festival. We really look at the gamut of books to try to find something for everyone. It's a reader's festival overall.
Okay. Well, before we get more into the program, let me just say that today's programming on WNRN is brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries, Siebel Reader's Choice for Burgers, and rated by Zagat's Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh, and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and open 9 till 10 on Friday and Saturday. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center in the Hollymead Town Center and now on the Downtown Mall, Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. And now, I just wanted to ask a little bit about the impact of this festival on Charlottesville. If you could talk a little bit about how many people attended last year.
Well, last year, the total attendance was a little over 26,000.
Wow.
At all the events. We were told that on Friday night of the festival, there were only 5 hotel rooms in Charlottesville. There were some other people here for other reasons, but it definitely has a big impact. The restaurants are full. Bookstores are selling books. It's a pretty exciting place to be during the festival.
This year, the merchants have gotten involved in a big way. One of our promotions is if you're wearing a book festival sticker, which are available through the festival at the Omni Hotel Information Desk and City Council Chambers when a program's going on, and the McIntyre Room of the Library when a program's going on, and the UVA Bookstore in Barnes & Noble. If you're wearing one of these stickers that you get at those events, you can board a city bus and you don't have to pay for the ride. It's a little perk for the people who are book lovers in town to get around to their events very quickly. Also helps with the traffic that you mentioned. And there are also perks at a lot of the stores, deals that you can go on the website under news and announcements and find some of the ways you can save a buck or two during the festival.
And the events are scattered all over town, correct?
I mean, there are 3 major areas, the University of Virginia, the downtown area, and Barracks Road Shopping Center, with a few other venues a little farther afield for very specific events.
Okay. And it's pretty integrated into, I guess, the cultural fabric or the fabric of Charlottesville. There's a lot of different groups involved. For instance, I was looking through, and it seems that every event seems to be sponsored by a different group. I was looking, there's an astronaut who's reading from his memoirs, an event called Skywalking, that's sponsored by a group I'd never even heard of, the Charlottesville Aviation Luncheon Club. How do you reach out to these groups, and do they call you or do you call them?
Some of both, actually. I happen to know some of the members of the Charlottesville Aviation Luncheon Club, and it's actually quite a large group. It has 80 or 90 members, and they meet once a month anyway, and it happens that their meeting is the third. It's the exact day of the beginning of the festival. So when we found out that we could have Tom Jones, who's an astronaut, come to speak, I called him and asked them if they'd like to have him for lunch.
That's not unusual, is it? Sorry. It's not that Tom Jones, is it?
No.
Oh, well.
No.
He gets that, actually, though. He did. Sure. He told us once that he went to sign books in Las Vegas, and people showed up thinking he was the singer.
And so he's Tom Jones. He has that memoir. Are the events like that? Are the authors talking about their books or in general, or is it just a lot of different things?
There's all kinds of events. You kind of read the description to see, but there's readings. If it's a fiction program, often writers will talk a little bit about the book and give a reading, a short reading. Poetry programs are very much readings. Sometimes there's a discussion topic that comes up. The authors will talk a little bit about their book and how it touches on that topic, and then we invite the audience to get involved. You know, come with a few questions or formulate some there while you're listening, and at the end of a session, when there's a Q&A session, chime in.
Because we say this really is a readers' festival to promote reading, we really do encourage all the programs to be very open, so that a lot of the time during is a question and answer and discussion among the authors themselves and also with the audiences.
It's 11:10 here on WNRN with the Sunday morning wake-up call. The markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today with a high of 40 to 45. Clear tonight with a low of 25 to 30. Sunny in the a.m. with a chance of showers in the afternoon. Tomorrow with a high of 55 to 60. Right now it's in the valley it's 39 degrees, 39 in Lynchburg, 41 in Richmond, and in Charlottesville it's 38 here at WNRN. I'd like to get back to this idea of some of these. Is there a theme to the festival, or, I mean, is there an overarching thing for this year, or?
Well, we never have one theme. We try to have sort of tracks, as I said. You know, history, current affairs, popular culture, poetry, fiction, etc. However, it is 2007, the 400th anniversary of the Jamestown settlement. So if you notice on our website this year, you'll find a number of history programs, some that specifically deal with Jamestown, and then some that deal with the history of Virginia, and then also the United States in general since that time.
That's Nancy Damon. She's the director of the Virginia Festival of the Book. This week, of course, is the Virginia Festival of the Book with events all over town beginning on Wednesday, is it?
That's right.
And that's also Kevin McFadden, the associate director. Going back to that idea of history, as I was looking through the as I was looking through your website, I saw that a lot of the events are sponsored by something called the We the People Initiative. Can you just tell us what that is?
That's an initiative of the National Endowment for the Humanities, just trying to get folks more interested in the history of the country, to engage it in some programming, get out in a discussion, realize that how much of our past informs the debates that are still going on today. So that's what the We the People is, and we've selected some programs that we hope to do just that.
This is the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on WNRN. You can join in, too, to ask Nancy and Kevin some questions. You can phone us at 979-0919 or at 1-877-967-6762 if you have a question about any of the events at this year's festival. There are so many events. You've got 200 events, and they're all free, or...
Almost all.
Well, let's talk about those free events here for a second, because everybody's trying to look after their budget. With all these events, you know, what advice do you give to people in terms of what to go and see?
I definitely would go on to the website, vabook.org. Check out the ways we've divided up the programming. You can look on the schedule and divide it up by location. If you know there's a place you like and you just want to sit there all day and watch the programs that come in and out, you can do that. If you have topics that you're interested in, you can search the program. It's a database for all the programs that appeal to your interest. Nancy mentioned some of those. You can check it out just by schedule. And we also recommend that this year you can make a book bag. There's a personalized schedule that the website will allow you to go through, choose, push a button, put the programs that you want into a certain area, and then you can just have a schedule for you. Looking at those 200, we know it gets to be complex. So if you want to start to narrow the topics that you're interested in and put them in a little saving place, there's a password and a login sort of feature for that. But it helps people just to focus on the ones they want to see.
Okay. And how about How about you two? I mean, you guys are organizing this festival. I know you put a lot of work into it. Do you make time to see any of these yourself? And what are you going to go see?
Oh, sure. We set a complete itinerary for ourselves, and we hardly ever keep it.
We go around to a lot of the programs. You might see us popping up at one, and then we have to duck out to get to another. Just try to see how everything's going and that everything's flowing smoothly. But we like to enjoy them when we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin does a lot of poetry, of course, because he himself is a poet. I'm particularly interested in historical programs and fiction.
This year, speaking of poetry, there are a lot of readings as usual, and we've got some great authors coming in. There's another track, kind of history and poetry together. There's a program that's called Poetry in the Papers. Two authors have studied a time when everyone talks about, remember when there was poetry actually in the newspapers? And these are two people who studied some of those, the influence of those poems when people were looking at them daily. One in terms of abolition. Completely looking at the book is called Amazing Grace. It's an anthology of poems about slavery that appeared in the newspapers in the 19th century. And also there's Thomas Jefferson's scrapbooks. Author Jonathan Gross is going to talk about poems that Jefferson cut out, put in a scrapbook, and kept together, and kind of the meaning those poems might have had for that figure.
I also saw that you have... there was one that seemed interesting to me. I think it was called something like Poets When Poets Commit Prose or something like that.
That's right. Michael Chitwood, who's been a Charlottesville resident before, but now lives in North Carolina, and Michael McPhee, another North Carolinian. We were tempted to call that program with Michael Chitwood and Michael McPhee Open Mics, but we stayed away from that one. Instead, we call it Stanza Break, When Poets Commit Prose. They're going to talk about when poets take on writing themselves fiction or sometimes essays, and what kind of different things will come up for them in switching genres.
And where's that one going to be held again?
That's going to be at Barnes & Noble. That's at noon on Saturday.
You're listening to WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. We're talking with the folks behind the Virginia Festival of the Book, which begins this Wednesday. And some of these events I see are not necessarily geared towards the public. Well, I guess there is a writing public, but they're geared towards writers. Can you talk about some of the events in which people are there could learn about improving their craft or becoming a writer?
Sure. Every Saturday during the festival for the past few years, really, as long as I've been doing it, we've held a publishing day. And we ask writers to come together and publishers to come together, publicists, editors, people who are involved in the industry of making books, which really does mystify a lot of people. And they're there to kind of help them sort it out. Everything from deciding to publish your own book with a self-publishing company or to seek a traditional publisher by writing a good pitch for your book or a summary for the book. Those kind of skills to help people really get the kind of work they want out of their book and the publicity that they also seek. There will be programs on buzzing your book, how once you already have a book to get the word out about it. Agents is always a popular panel that will happen that day. And we have four editors who will be appearing on Saturday for literary journals. People who are interested in getting their fiction, poetry, essays placed can talk to the editors of the Virginia Quarterly Review, the Kenyon Review, Shenandoah, and Blackbird.
Okay. And are those local journals? Or?
Well, two of them are semi-local. The Virginia Quarterly Review, of course, is here, and Blackbird is a Virginia publication as well, as is Shenandoah. But the Kenyon Review is a very well nationally regarded magazine that comes out of Gambier, Ohio.
I'm going to jump back to history, Sean, because, you know, I told you that's one of my favorites. If you look at the list of the different kind of history programs we have everything from things that are you would expect to see in Virginia history. Peter Wallenstein and Richard Lebunsky are talking about, sort of standard Virginia history, but then we also have two programs on African American history. We have a program about women's history, including one about the history of women and guns. One talking about presidents at work and the sports that they played.
And you've got some events from the Miller Center, too, correct?
Yes, that actually is the program at the Miller Center.
Okay, I got you.
Mm-hmm. There's programs on the Civil War, the Vietnam War, the war in Iraq, the Second World War. Are there any other wars we could think of? Maybe not the War of 1898, yeah. The Spanish-American War, but we've got something for everybody.
Sure. Well, in just a second, we'll come back to that idea, because I want to get to that point of tackling some of these serious topics. But first, I just want to say that today's programming on WNRN is being brought to you with the support of Blue Ridge Graphics, Mead Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. That number on page 739 of the Charlottesville Yellow Pages and at brgtshirts.com.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And I'm Sean Tubbs, in for the vacationing Rick Moore, who I understand is in Las Vegas for his annual trip. We're talking today with the directors of the Virginia Festival of the Book, which begins this Wednesday, with all sorts of events. It begins with, and we're speaking with Nancy Damon and Kevin McFadden, the director and associate director, respectively. It begins with something called the Business Breakfast. Can you just talk about what that is?
Oh, I'd love to talk about that. Every year we've had a breakfast specifically geared towards business people in the area. And this year I think it's going to be one of the most fun ones we've ever had. Mike Veck is a person who owns six minor league baseball teams, along with a comedian and actor, Bill Murray. And he's written a wonderful book, Fun is Good, How to Create Passion and Creativity in Your Work. And it's a terrific book. It's sort of deceptively simple, talking about how to have fun with your work life and also in your personal life. It's Wednesday morning. It starts at 7:30. It's at the Omni Hotel, and there are actually some tickets, not many, but some still available. You can go on our website, vabook.org, and order tickets.
That's the only way they're going to be
available. The only way now. Right now. There's an Eventbrite system where you, and they're $25, and we encourage people to come. I think they're going to have a great time.
Is he related to that Bill Veck, the guy
who's the
son? Okay,
yeah. He's the one that did demolition,
disco demolition night,
and his father fired him for that.
Well, I can remember that. That caused a riot, didn't it, or something?
Yes, it did cause a riot. That's why he got fired.
Well, speaking of riots and serious events such as that, you tackle some tough topics at the festival. It's not just fiction. You have panels this year on Native Americans, immigration, homelessness, cultural criticism. Why do you take this serious approach?
Well, we're part of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, and we are trying to engage humanities topics in everyday life and in the policies that shape our country. And that's part of the dialogue. That's part of our mission to get talking about it. That's the only way we're going to make improvements and get better.
And you at home can enter our dialogue today by phoning 979-0919 or 1-877-967-6762 to join the conversation today. That's 979-0919 to speak with Nancy Damon and Kevin McFadden, the directors of the Virginia Festival of the Book. We have a couple of other guests who will join us in the second half of the program today. Can you talk some more about some of these events? I mean, or who comes up with these ideas?
Well, we look at books that are being published. We look to the university, sometimes some of the professors there. People give us recommendations. Every time I go anywhere, I ask people, what are you reading and who did you grow up with and what authors do you know? And
our program committee is book professionals, booksellers, just people who know a lot about what's going on, and they give us ideas. It's our job to go hunt them down. We don't always get every year what we're looking for, but quite often we get more than we expected.
Mm-hmm. And of course it probably helps that, or I guess I should ask, why Charlottesville? Why is this in Charlottesville and not Richmond or some other part of the state?
Well, it's a book town. We have more bookstores per capita than any small town in the country. The university is here. It's definitely part of the draw. Just a great reading community, a great combination of town and gown that comes out for events. Writers professionally come and they expect an audience of mostly students who've been impressed to be in attendance at the event by the professors. But instead they find there's a great mix of students, people from the community, the great retirement communities that are here, help promote and let people know some of the interesting things that keep the lifelong education of our public going.
And you do have events going on at the Senior Center, right?
Yes, we do.
Can you tell us what's happening at the Senior Center for this festival?
Well, there's a program on creative retirement, and there's actually another program about dogs at the senior center. We have three writers, Donald McCaig, Ken Foster, and David Rosenfeld, who've written very different kinds of books, but they all feature dogs. And Ken Foster rescued his dogs. He was in Katrina. He was also in New York during 9/11. So he says people ask him not to move to their town, actually. He said that in his book.
He's not coming here, is he?
He is, but not to live.
Oh, good, good, good.
He still lives in New Orleans. And David Rosenfeld is actually a mystery writer, but dogs figure prominently in his book. And Donald McCaig is also a historical fiction writer, but he's also written a book because he trains border collies as well.
And raises them out in Highland County, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. This idea of reflecting current events, you just mentioned the author there who comes, who was affected by Hurricane Katrina. When something happens like that, how quickly can you adjust the program for the festival to capture that? And I guess I'm speaking of 4 years ago with the beginning of the Iraq War. I know that you very quickly put some programs together to talk about the Iraq War.
Well, you know, what was interesting about that year, we had a historical fiction panel. None of the books, of course, dealt with Iraq, but it was on everybody's mind so much. For example, that everybody started talking about it, even though their fiction was about other things like the Troubles in Ireland or the Spanish Civil War, but yet people drew parallels between their own books' experiences. It doesn't always have to go right to that topic to be relevant. I mean, another topic, for example, this year that we're doing, global warming is a huge thing that everybody is suddenly finally thinking about, and one of the people coming, Ted Steinberg, has written a book called American Green, The Obsessive Quest for the Perfect Lawn, and at first we thought that was kind of a humorous book, and then when we looked into it, it turns out he's a very well-known historian of the environment and the history of nature and people interacting with nature in the United States, and so that's going to be both a very topical but also really well-researched kind of program.
Another program on change in natural landscapes called Wild Abandon. John Lohman, who will be talking later, will be moderating that later in the week. But we brought a couple of authors in from two different regions, one from the South, South Carolina. Bland Simpson will be talking about environmental change on the Inner Islands, the Sound Country. And Charles Bowden will be talking about the Sonoran Desert. And these are two environments that are, they've been found more recently, previously maybe thought to be wastelands or just don't let anything build up or grow there. And, we're encroaching into some of those areas, and some of those areas are changing, and we find out differently. Our concept of wilderness is changing, and what we need is a green space or, in a way, dead space, like in a desert. So it's going to be a really interesting topic, and I hope people come and get involved in the discussion.
And where can they see that event?
That event is Friday at 4 o'clock at the City Council Chambers. It's called Wild Abandon.
It's 11:26, and you're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on WNRN. We're talking today about the Virginia Festival of the Book, which begins this Wednesday, and we're speaking with Nancy Damon, the director of the festival, and Kevin McFadden, the associate director. Now, you've got all these serious events, but it's not all serious. I mean, I think a lot of people turn to books to escape or to relax.
Sure.
What are some of the other panels that would deal with, say, some of the genre fiction that...
We have a number of mystery panels, which are all on Saturday, except for a Friday night sort of with some of the biggest mystery writers that are coming. Lee Child, George Pelicanos, Tess Gerritsen and Laura Lippman, and then Saturday. We also have several fantasy panels, one Friday night and one Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
We have a panel on jive and hip.
There's one called Jews, Jive, and Jazz. It's a really interesting combination of authors. One is going to be talking about hipness, hip. It's called Hip, the History, and it's about what makes something hip. When is something deemed hip, and how does that change? And what kind of dialogue is that? And he tends to find it's a exclusively American thing, or it started that way anyway, in the dialogue between black and white, and just how the insiders and outsiders function and speak to each other. And it's a movable boundary, and one that our society is probably uniquely positioned to discover.
Would you consider this festival hip?
I'd say we have some hip programs. It's interesting that the author of that book thought of himself as not quite a hipster, but someone who liked to watch it. Sure.
You know, the other thing that, another topic that you don't necessarily see at literary festivals is we do have several programs in addition to the ones that Rick Turner is going to speak of in just a moment about sports. And I think sports are so important in our society. We have a author who's coming who's written the history of NASCAR. We have another person, Pete Williams, who's written a book about the NFL draft. And then we mentioned Mike Vec, who's more into sports management. Then the program about presidents in sports, and then this wonderful book by Bill Roden, $40 Million Slaves.
Well, we'll talk about that in just a second. It is 11:29, and it's WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with me, Sean Tubbs. I'm sitting in today for Rick Moore. We're talking about the Virginia Festival of the Book. Additional support today for WNRN is coming from 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From free modeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com. The number 4, the number 5, and the word fix. The Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today with a high of 40 to 45. Clear tonight with a low of 25 to 30. Sunny in the morning with a chance of showers in the afternoon tomorrow with a high of 55 to 60. Right now in the Valley it's 39 degrees in Lynchburg, 41 in Richmond, and in Charlottesville it's 38 here at WNRN. Let's turn now to Rick Turner. Mr. Turner is the director of the Charlottesville branch of the NAACP, is that correct?
The president of the Albemarle Charlottesville branch of the NAACP.
That's it. I always forget that Albemarle part.
But I do great things, too.
Excellent. Well, and on Saturday night at 8, you're moderating a conversation with the author of a book called $40 Million Slaves, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete. Can you tell us more about the author of that event?
Well, he's a very interesting person. I actually met Bill Roden about 10 years ago via his column in the New York Times. He's been a sports writer for the New York Times since 1983. And he wrote an article on my son who was playing basketball for St. John's. And in that article, he quoted me and some of the things that I did at the University of Virginia in regards to African-American students and African-American athletes. I didn't actually meet him until 2004 at the Final Four. But he's been a friend for a long time. I didn't really know that he was writing this book, but he's been writing this book for 10 years. And, you know, it's a very provocative, sometimes distressing, but a major contribution. I think when folks come to hear about the book and enjoy it and participate in the conversation, I think they will go away with knowing and understanding that this book, $40 Million Slave, is a major contribution to the literature on race and sports. For anyone who cares about America's future in sports in America, I've read it a couple of times. I think it's well worth reading because what he brings, which I haven't seen it in a lot of books, he brings a history, the politics, and race on the field of sports. So I think that Charlottevillians and other folks who come to the festival will really enjoy a major conversation. One of Roden's contentions in his book is that many African Americans who benefit from employment as pro athletes have sacrificed whatever social conscience they might have had to the goals of maximizing their own profits. But I think what he shows there's a wonderful balance between the often forgotten histories of great athletes such as Jackie Robinson, Joe Louis, Willie Mays, the Negro League, great entrepreneur, Rube Foster, and college football great Sam Cunningham. One of the major pieces of the book is his charge assessment of the state of black athletes in America.
And so what is that state at the moment? I mean, is he largely positive about it, or is he fairly, or is he critical?
Well, you know, it's a balance. You know, his book, The Rise, The $40 Million Slave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete. And what he's saying is using the pervasive metaphor of the plantation to describe a modern sport industry that's always been defined by white ownership and black labor. So he is not critical of sports in general, but what he's trying to do is show a balance, particularly the balance between a social consciousness and actually profiting from playing sports.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call here on WNRN. Speaking now is Rick Turner, who is moderating a panel at the Virginia Festival of the Book, which begins this Wednesday. Now, your panel is on Saturday night at 8, correct?
Saturday night at 8 at the University of Virginia Bookstore.
And exactly what format is that going to take? Will that be a reading and a conversation or an interview on stage? Or how do you think that's going to work?
Well, again, we're going to try to have a balance. Bill's going to talk a little bit about his book. We have sent out flyers throughout the community. And we particularly want to get athletes, both black and white, male and female athletes, to learn a little bit about the history. But it's going to be more of a conversation after he introduces his book. And, you know, some people might it is a provocative book, and I'm glad that it's provocative. Provocative. I think that in the annals of sports, I think one day we might see this book as a classic, because primarily he challenges rightfully the conventional American notion of sports as a model of integration and meritocracy, where talent and athleticism trumps bigotry. So, you know, it's full of controversy. It's full of facts, and it's full of history.
And I just would like to turn back to Nancy and Kevin for a second here, too. Just the idea of, should somebody read these books before they come to the festival, or do they get the chance to buy them afterwards?
I think a lot of these books are fairly newly out, and they're probably going to want to go to the programs, hear something about the books, and if they wish, buy the books and have them signed by the authors at the events.
And you're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call here on WNRN. WNRN thanks Rebecca Campbell, Jill Green, and Jeannie Joyce for contributing to WNRN's Fun Drive this past fall. It's because of people like them that you have the Wake-Up Call on the air every Sunday from 11 to noon. It's also because of our program underwriters, like the ones you're hearing from this hour. So stay tuned, tell a friend about the Wake-Up Call and other programming you enjoy on WNRN, and be sure to support our next Fun Drive starting March 26th. And Mr. Turner, I'd like to go back to you for a second here in terms of, have you been involved with the festival in the past as well?
I've been involved as a moderator in the festival in the past, but this is a major contribution this year in regards to this issue of sports. And I'm very, very delighted because not only are we talking about sports, we're talking about our obsession with sports, but we're also talking about a man who has done detailed research in the history and the politics and race in sports. So I'm very delighted this year because of my involvement with this particular topic.
And that book is $40 Million Slaves, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete by the author is
William Roden.
William Roden, gotcha. And if you like that, you can go Saturday at 8. And where is that being held? I know I asked it earlier. I'm just curious.
It's going to be held at the University of Virginia Bookstore. I should say one more thing about Bill Roden, too, because Many people really actually know Bill Roden. If they look at ESPN on Sunday, every Sunday at 10 o'clock, Bill Roden is on Sports Reporter.
Okay.
So he will probably not be a new face to many people.
Okay. You're listening to WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. And just before we take another break, I just want to ask another question about the availability of these books. I think you said, so these books are available for purchase afterwards. Well, obviously that one's at the bookstore, so they could pick up a copy. But in general, do people have a chance?
Every panel has books for sale of those authors who are participating in that panel. Unless, of course, there's actually one program on academic publishing where the people aren't talking about their books. They're talking about issues in academic publishing.
Have you ever done any kind of analysis of what this does for bookstores in town?
Most of it's anecdotal. We collect through our survey forms that go out, the evaluations, a general idea from people who go to programs, how many books they purchase at a time. And it's rounder figures, but the bookstores let us know a little bit more information. Sometimes they keep very detailed logs. And, yeah, it's a big boon at this time of year. Sales go up for book festival authors, and, you know, that's a great way to support the festival, actually. Just support yourself and support the festival by buying a book. The bookstores appreciate it, and they all support us.
That's Kevin McFadden, the Associate Director of the Virginia Festival of the Book, which begins this Wednesday. He's here along with other guests to discuss the festival. Support for WNRN today is also coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, famous for durable outdoor gear and your source for trail running footwear, including belt packs, clothing, and the new Patagonia Capeline. Also at Blue Ridge, it's the area's premier selection of rain gear. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, Charlottesville, and at Wintergreen in Richmond, and at BRMS.com.
You know, Sean, that's very interesting. There are several programs at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, including one on exploring unusual places, another one about birds, and another one about retracing the steps of John Smith and his explorations around Jamestown.
And it is the 400th anniversary of that. We'll be back in just a quick second.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
This week in The Hook, Litapalooza. Find out more details on this week's Virginia Festival of the Book with The Hook's top picks from this month's other March Madness, with interviews from authors. Also in this week's issue, a look at the new Quick Gym's claims that 4 minutes of fitness a day is all you need, and the head of one of the area's top goth bands calls it quits. Those stories, plus the week in the review, in this week's Hook. Pick up your free copy at newsstands everywhere across town. And you're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with me, Sean Tubbs, here in for the vacationing Rick Moore. And we're talking with the directors of the Virginia Festival of the Book and a couple of the moderators of some of the panels. I'd like to turn now to John Lohman, who is the director of the Virginia Folklife Program at the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. And I guess you sort of were convinced to do a couple of programs this year.
Yes, well, I have been doing them every year. You know, at the foundation, regardless of what program you're part of, we have so many different programs. I direct the Folklife program, but it's kind of an all hands on deck situation when the book festival comes along, and I really look forward to it. To me, it's kind of almost a sign of the coming of spring, and it's just nice to kind of take time out from what you're doing and think about reading and think about books, and gets me kind of excited for it. And so I always enjoy being part of the book festival.
And one of the events that you're moderating this year is called Barbie Dolls, Ginseng, Moonshine, and Moon Pies. Sounds like a pretty intriguing title. What would people see if they attend that?
Well, I think all these books, you know, it's funny because this is one of these panels where the books, when you first look at them, you think, well, I'm not quite sure how these all go together. But I think you're going to find some very interesting thematic strands in them, in that they all kind of speak to sort of intense passions that people have for various things. Some of them are, one book in particular, I think it's called Who Are You People, looks at different types of collectors and different types of situations. In fact, there's a chapter in there about Mount Airy, North Carolina, which has kind of remade itself as Mayberry. It's where Andy Griffith grew up, and kind of how folks are these sort of fanatical Andy Griffith fans and these kinds of things. So I think it's going to be an interesting panel looking at these different things.
And isn't that what folk life is all about in a way, the stories that we tell ourselves? I mean, obviously, I mean, would you consider Mayberry to be folk life?
Oh, definitely. I would. You know, I mean, I actually, this is something I'm really interested in because I actually spend a lot of time in Mount Airy. We've been doing a music series, recording CDs down in Cana, Virginia, which is just over the border from Mount Airy. So I spend a lot of time in Mount Airy, and it's really fascinating to see, this town that, like a lot of mountain towns, has really fallen on some hard times. A lot of the industries that have kind of sustained that area for a long time have really dropped off, and they're really struggling, and they kind of embrace this Mayberry concept for tourism, essentially. But it's really interesting to see the way the town has kind of maintained its own, you know, its own identity, its own self within this touristic kind of thing that they've developed. So you have, for example, Floyd's Barber Shop, where Andy used to get his hair cut on the episodes. Well, that's in fact there, and the guy talks to you about cutting Andy's hair and these kinds of things.
But it's there, but did that really exist, or is it sort of a mixture of fiction and reality?
Well, it really is kind of a mixture of fiction and reality, but there's a lot more reality there than you might think. Actually, when I was down there, I spoke with the director of tourism down there, and I asked her, you know, what's going to happen when the generations that remember Andy Griffith pass on? Is this still going to work? You know, because literally, you'd be amazed. Literally, busloads of people come in a day to Mount Airy to see the place where Andy gets his pork chop sandwich and these kinds of things. She seemed to feel that that it was timeless, she said. Andy Griffith is timeless. But it actually relates to another panel that I'm actually an author on.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Excellent.
Which is a panel on memorials.
How do you have time to write?
I don't know. it came out of my dissertation, actually. It's a chapter out of my dissertation that I wrote in Philadelphia about murals in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is one of the most muraled cities. In fact, it is the most muraled city in the world for various reasons I won't get into here. But I wrote my dissertation in folklore at Penn on murals, and I got very interested in one mural in particular, which was a memorial to young people who were essentially murdered in the neighborhood for different types of street violence.
That sounds. And what time is that panel?
This panel is at 2:00 on Wednesday. It's at the Gravity Lounge. You're going to be showing a lot of slides, a lot of images. There are going to be other wonderful books there, Etched in Stone by Carol M. Highsmith and Ryan Coonerty, which is a photographic book about memorials. And, you know, it gets into that same issue I was talking about with Mount Airy, which is, you know, what happens to these memorials when folks who remember these people who are being memorialized, or in the case of a war memorial, for example, what happens when these veterans pass on? What kind of meanings do these memorials take on over time? How do these meanings change? What kind of role do these memorials play? So I think it's going to be a really interesting panel. I know memorials sounds like kind of a real downer topic, but what I found with my work was that memorials are actually not so much about death as much as it is about the living and about those who are left to remember and providing a place for them to remember, to share stories, and to really celebrate also these people's lives.
The time now is 11:47. It's the Sunday morning wake up call here on WNRN. I'm Sean Tubbs, sitting in for the vacationing Rick Moore. John, and we're speaking with John Lohman, who is the director of the Virginia Folklife Program, as well as Nancy Damon and Kevin McFadden, the director and associate director of the Virginia Festival of the Book. John's been talking about a couple of the panels that he's appearing at, both as moderator and an author, at the Virginia Festival of the Book, which begins this Wednesday and runs through till Sunday. Is that correct?
That's right.
And so you've got 5 days of all these different things, everything from sports to memorials. But can you talk a little bit about some of the other events that are available? I understand that there's a lot of programming for children as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right. Storyfest is annually a program that goes down on the downtown mall. It happens all through a lot of venues down there, and there's people sharing stories. There's a book swap that happens at Chris Oakley's, Oakley's Gently Used Books, where kids can bring in a book that they've read and switch it out for another one and bring it back the next year and keep it going. That event has gone on almost as long as the festival. It started up in the second year. And this year, a special treat for those who grew up on Sesame Street, as I did, seeing Maria as one of the characters on the show.
Huh.
Maria from Sesame Street, Sonia Manzano, will be there signing books. She's written a couple books, and she'll be sharing those stories with anyone who'll come.
And what time is that event?
The Saturday events for Storyfest are basically 9 o'clock through 3 o'clock. There's a whole smattering of them. I recommend people go on the website to see exactly what is going on when, and that's vabook.org.
You know, in today's paper, the Daily Progress, there's also a pull-out section devoted entirely to the Virginia Festival of the Book. And the copies of those are in the bookstores and will be at all the venues. And, of course, as Kevin said, the website, vabook.org, is just a wealth of information. So I hope people will check that.
There's a great full-page color promotion in that progress program on Storyfest. So that's another great place to look for it. Mm-hmm.
There's another program that we think is going to be really important because it's encouraging readers of the future. Jim Trelease is a nationally known expert on reading aloud. And the library, Friends of the Library Foundation, is bringing him here Wednesday night. He's going to be at the Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center at 7 o'clock and again on Thursday morning. And he's going to be talking about reading aloud to children and promoting that. And so we hope by doing this that we'll be nurturing the readers of the future.
And we have a caller. We have Holly online too. Holly, go ahead. And what do you have to ask today?
I just wanted to say what fun it is to be driving in my car and listening to public radio. So thank you so much for that. And
you're
my
welcome.
Name is Holly Neer. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm coming into town to play at Gravity Lounge tonight. And I was so excited to hear about the book fair because it just puts in context the work that I do, which is the literature of song. And it's just very exciting to me to hear that this is going on in Charlottesville. I come from California, so we don't know a lot about what's going on in Virginia. And I just wanted to call and say thank you to all of your guests for keeping reading alive and for being really active and keeping the arts and culture alive in a time when that seems to be less funded. And so thanks. That's all
thank
I wanted
you.
To say.
Well, thanks for calling in, Holly. And you're at the Gravity Lounge tonight, correct?
Say what?
And I believe that you're appearing in town tonight, correct?
Yeah, we're playing at Gravity Lounge tonight. And at 1 o'clock, we're actually going to be over at the at the university at Jefferson Hall doing a discussion about art and activism. And that starts at 1 o'clock. Yeah. And I guess the details are on my website. But tonight is at Gravity Lounge, and we're going to be doing a lot of singing of songs that are really lyric-based, and I think of them as literature-based because they are stories. There's a great wealth of storytelling that comes out of music, and so it was just exciting to me to hear about all the different books that you're celebrating in this coming week. And if there's somebody from your organization wants to bring over the calendars and the catalogs hand them out to our audience, we'd be happy to.
They may already be there. Gravity Lounge does such a great job during the festival. Supporting us, having a lot of...
I'm not hearing you, so I'm going to hang up. But thanks so much.
Thanks
Take
for calling,
everybody.
Holly.
Bye.
It's coming up to 11:52 here on WNRN Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. We're talking about the Virginia Festival of the Book today with the festival organizers. And I'll just throw this open to all of you here, but perhaps to you, John, you know, about music. You do have some musical events at the Virginia Festival of the Book this year, many of them at the Gravity Lounge, correct?
Yes, those are actually, this is not John, this is Nancy.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
There are a number of related events that are part of Gravity Lounge's programming, and they are ticketed events, but they have a number of singers coming in.
Paul Carreri is having a release party and the signing.
Mm-hmm. And
that's all on our schedule, too, and it says related event, and it tells you how to get tickets.
Do you have any events this year about songwriting at all? Or
none specifically, but we hope the dialogue is going on, like Holly was talking about, because it's a piece we've done in years past. We try to cycle our events through and not do necessarily the same things every year. But we hope the discussion is ongoing about lyrics. There's certainly a lot of poetry. Unfortunately, Odetta, who was originally scheduled to be part of the program, has had to cancel. She's sick. If that's news to people, I'm sorry to have to break it, but she will not be appearing at Gravity Lounge.
Well, I guess when you have 200 events, you're not going to be able to get them all to be in stone and work out as much as you'd like, correct?
Yeah, sometimes things change. Things come up. People get snowed into their city or get sick. And we've come up with the best system we really can possibly have this year for informing people. The website will give instantaneous correct information. If someone has had to cancel, we'll put it out there. You'll see it as soon as possible. For those people who have a book bag packed, that's the online personal registration system, that information will come through to them and they'll receive a notice if there are any changes. There have been venue changes. Some people might have seen a couple things at Vinegar Hill, which have now been moved to the Omni, but no major cancellations have come down the pipe. We've just had to switch things around. So keep your eyes on the site, and we'll see you there.
And I'd just like to ask a question about technology there, because obviously, you know, you both have been doing the festival for a number of years now, correct?
That's right.
That's right.
This is our seventh festival.
Your seventh festival. Wow. And how has technology, you're talking about the changes that you've made to your website. How is technology changing the book? Are people still reading as much, you think?
Absolutely. I think that the book is going to become a little more broadly envisioned in as a text. It's going to have a physical incarnation in a printed book like it's always had, and there will be online versions of books that will be more easily searchable to scholars of them. There are a lot of advantages to having things online that way, but there are, you know, when the computers crash, there's a lot of advantages to having something stacked in paper on your bookshelf. So it's never going to definitively change the physical book, but it might change how many get made in which way. You know, maybe there'll be smaller numbers, or there'll be a print-on-demand sort of option for books that have before been out of print. So I think it's only going to help book lovers of the future to enjoy reading.
You're listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. It's 11:55, and you're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call here on the program. And we're speaking with the directors of the Virginia Festival of the Book and one of the program's moderators this year. Just as we wrap this up today, I'm just wondering, have you read all of the books that are going to be on?
We have read a lot of the books.
A lot of them, yeah. There's 345 people participating.
Wow.
So that would be one book a day all year, basically. We get a lot of help from our committees who help us in the reading and reviewing, and that's one of the ways we stay on top of it.
And what happens to all the books that you get? I mean, do you have to purchase these books?
Authors and publishers will send the books to us, and the moderators use them for their events. Afterward, we donate them to the library to keep them in circulation.
Oh, that's a good thing. And, of course, how involved is the library system in the area with the festival?
Well, the library system is completely involved by providing venues, by distributing information, and then, of course, you know that the Friends of the Public Library System here have an enormous book sale that starts at about the same time and continues through and after the book festival. That's at Gordon Avenue Library, and that's ongoing. I think it started this weekend.
Yeah, it did.
And just one of the last questions I asked about that I had intended to hit on a earlier is the Hooks Fiction Contest. Can you just talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, this year's opening ceremony, which is on Wednesday at noon. One of the things we're always proud to have part of the festival is the announcement of the Hook Fiction Contest winners. This year, you might have seen they were judged by John Grisham, and that's going to be high praise for the winner. And we're looking forward to hearing, just like everybody else, at the library on Wednesday at noon.
WNRN reminds you that member registration for Cavalier Day Camp is starting tomorrow and continues through Friday the 23rd. Cavalier Day Camp is a fun educational experience for kids entering grades 1 through 5. Members may register campers at the UVA Aquatic and Fitness Center Gymnasium between 6 and 7:30 p.m. Open registration will begin on the 26th at the Aquatic and Fitness Center Business Office from 8:30 till 5. Online info and registration forms are at virginia.edu/ims/CDC, or you can call the NRN studio line. And and we're wrapping up the program here. I'm Sean Tubbs, the news director here at WNRN, and we're here with the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with Nancy Damon, the director of the Virginia Festival of the Book, Kevin McFadden, the associate director, and John Lohman, the director of the Virginia Folklife Program. Any last things that we should know about the book festival?
Yes, be sure to look at vabook.org for all the details. It's a wonderful website, very user-friendly this year. And we hope everyone will find something for them, and we feel pretty confident they will.
And how about you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'd say if you prefer to look at things printed out, like we were talking about, be sure to get around to a bookstore or the downtown library. Many places and venues, restaurants around town will have it, the program. It's printed now by the Daily Progress. So just look for it and find something you'd like to see.
And John Lohman, you are obviously getting ready for the different panels that you're going to be participating on, correct?
Yeah, and I would just say also, I'm one of those folks, I must admit, that's not one of the greatest readers in the world. I tend to, don't go through as many books as I'd like to get to. And I know this festival often is, one that is loved so much by people who are avid readers. But I want to put a call out to all those folks who don't read as much as they'd like to, or think they'd like to read more. And that I always find it pretty inspiring to go to this. And I get a lot more books on my bedside table after attending. So,
and have you read them all?
I usually do a pretty good job getting through them. But I need that shot now. You know, it's about that time. Winter's over, and so I need that little juice that the book festival provides. So,
well, thanks for joining us today here on WNRN Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. The Virginia Festival of the Book begins on Wednesday, March 21st, and runs through till next Sunday, the 25th. Is it?
Yes.
25th. Yes. I'm Sean Tubbs, and this has been WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call.
This has been your Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The Wake Up Call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.